I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Helene was a monster storm. We saw it coming. The federal government had time to prepare. It wasn't prepared. We don't have nearly enough soldiers and military helicopters rescuing people. During Katrina, we had 20,000 soldiers and 350 military helicopters. A week after the storm in Appalachia, we had, I think, 7,000 soldiers and maybe 100 helicopters, and you especially need helicopters in a mountainous area. Senators Budd and Tillis are so frustrated, they've asked Vice President Harris and President Biden to put an active-duty military leader in charge, but so far I don't think they've heard anything.
I think that would be a great idea. We need an active-duty military general who really knows what to be done and should be done, not politicians who are trying to preserve their future career. Now, that doesn't mean an active military general isn't trying to preserve his future career either. But if it's someone who's looking out for what the JOB is and the mission and make sure it's carried out properly, that's the guy I want leading the charge to go in and help with rescue, rebuilding, and everything else. That was Louisiana Senator John Kennedy talking about how we watch this federal government, FEMA, and the Biden Corporation respond, correct that, not really respond to Helene, and they could see it coming. This is not like a tornado. When a tornado spins out, you already have tornado watches that it might happen. But then when it certainly hits, you've got a tornado warning. We've had one spotted either by ground personnel, or by radar, it appears to be a tornado, you have very little time to respond. The hurricanes have been building out in the Atlantic or the Gulf in these last two cases for some time. They're very evident. You can't ignore them. That means you got plenty of time to prepare. Now, the people of North Carolina never considered that Hurricane Helene would cause the damage it did. But when you live in mountainous country, and they'd already had a lot of rain, and now you got Hurricane Helene stalling out over them, dropping even more rain, not just flash floods, massive landslides taking buildings and people with it. And they need so much more help than what they were getting, and FEMA was not ready. Now, you could say, well, Larry, you just said they didn't really know that North Carolina would be hit that hard. No, they didn't at the time it was going up the coast. But once they saw how it was beginning to trigger all up and down as it moved northward, you don't start staging and getting ready? Nope, FEMA didn't. Just didn't see that one coming. Idiots. Idiots. Thanks for joining us. Here we are. Hour number two, Larry Connors USA. Glad to have you with us. And if you're with us for the first time, thank you. And if you're with us for numerous times as before, please make sure you continue to tell others about the program. They do not want to miss it. We need everyone on board going into the November election and past. Do you love this country? You a patriot? You need to be right here. And make sure your family and friends, even if they are Democrat supporters, they're enlisting. They need to. They may or may not change their mind, but at least they're going to get a factual presentation. And yes, with my opinion involved as well. But I give you sources and information so you can track it down. I don't want a bunch of sheep. I want patriots who love their country. And reminding you, we're here, as I said, every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program right as you're listening to it. You go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, or Facebook. And if you miss anything, they're later posted as podcast at News Talk Podcast, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. And if you're watching, listening then, please push like and push share. Send it on to at least five others you know. and encourage them to do the same. So the Milton situation, I'm looking, you know, we're not really going to see what's going to happen until tomorrow. Sometime tomorrow, maybe late tomorrow evening, actually. And that's the worst time for a hurricane or something like that to come in the dead of night. The difference is, again, there's been plenty of advance warning versus a tornado in the dead of night. People are sleeping. They may not even hear a siren if there is one going. But this time, folks have had an opportunity. And reports out of Florida right now, roads are clogged. Highways are clogged as Hurricane Milton is closing in. Gasoline is shortage in some areas, so the state is moving gas trucks trying to transport fuel to those stations in the path so people can move out. And if they don't want to get all the way on the highway, there are shelters set up. DeSantis has done everything he can to prepare his people. And even to the extent that he said, look, we can take care of ourselves here after Helene. We're doing it. Take whatever FEMA money you have and help. Send it to North Carolina. Those folks have never experienced anything like that. Help them out. Have you seen any, even one, of the leftist media praise DeSantis for such a, not just gracious, but obviously a needed decision to help others? No. I haven't seen it. I don't even see it reported anywhere, not even in bottom line coverage. Oh, by the way, DeSantis said, we don't need your FEMA help right now. Help North Carolina. Now, reference Milton. Here's the way DeSantis described it earlier today.
That Tampa Bay area is very low lying. Pinellas County, where I grew up, is surrounded by water. It's a peninsula. It is just vulnerable to storm surge generally. This is a storm that's going to be hitting sometime Wednesday night, early Thursday morning. The water's already going to be high with the tide. So that's a huge, huge concern. Now, it had gotten up to 180 mile an hour when it was going towards the Yucatan Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico. That is a incredibly powerful storm. It has weakened since then. It may strengthen today. The forecasts are that it will make landfall weaker than it is today. Let's pray that that's the case. The surge is going to be a big enough problem, and hopefully the winds are manageable. Most of the buildings in Florida are going to be able to handle a Category 3 storm.
And hopefully that will be what they'll end up seeing. But anything could happen as it continues to move forward. The other thing, with all that we've seen with FEMA and their failure to respond, and not only that, but they've admitted, even on their own webpage, although now they're trying to act like, we never said that, we never did that, they admitted repeatedly, and on their webpage, we're taking money out of the Federal Emergency Management Association to settle illegals. They say to settle migrants, but it's illegals. And something like $750 million was to use to settle immigrants in North Carolina. Well, maybe they would at least consider, you know, we got $750 million put in to help settle immigrants in that area. Maybe we should go help them. Oh, if we encounter a U.S. citizen, they can wait till we help the immigrants. And then you had the other day one of the most audacious and stupid decisions of FEMA. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy nails it.
In the middle of all this, the White House sends a FEMA representative on a national talk show on Sunday to say, stop with the hard questions. It's hurting the morale of the FEMA employees. You can't, even Jussie Smollett can't make this stuff up. I mean, most Americans who saw that interview, Sean, thought, you know, cry me a river. That's what we pay you for. Get your ass back to work, and do your job. And then, in the middle of all this, the vice president puts out this tweet that she wants to send $157 million to Lebanon. Lebanon is run by Hezbollah. We're at war with Hezbollah. If you give Lebanon money, Hezbollah will take it and use it to buy weapons to try to kill us and Israel. There's no reward for being stupid.
No, but Harris hopes there is. She's hoping I can get the presidency. And you know what she did today on The View? Not that I know you bothered watching it. I don't either, but I want to tell you what she did. The co-host asked, talking about how you worked with Biden for almost 4 years. What are you going to do now? Big specific difference between your presidency and a Biden presidency. Harris said, we're two different people. We have a lot of shared life experience and blah, 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 blah. If anything, would you have done something differently than Biden did during the past 4 years, she's asked. There's not a thing that comes to mind. I've been in most of the decisions that have had impact, and the work we've done to invest in American industries, they're all a shared priority. So basically, I will do nothing different than Joe Biden has done. That's not good news for America. On one hand, she'd been saying, I'll do everything to make things better. Now she's saying I wouldn't. Which is it? It's whatever the wind is blowing that catches her attention at the time. Fox News' Peter Ducey probably hurt KJP's feelings, the White House spokesmouthpiece, the other day. He certainly nailed her repeatedly with a question.
President Biden is fond of saying, show me your budget and I will tell you what you value. If he's got money for people in Lebanon right now, without Congress having to come back, what does it say about his values? There's not enough money right now for
his
people
values,
in North Carolina who
his,
need it. That's not misinformation.
Wait. No, that is. Your whole premise of the question is misinformation, sir. It's misinformation.
I just mentioned
to you that we provided more than $200 million to folks who are impacted in the area. And I just shared with you that people are deciding not to.
To Congress that there's not enough money to help people in North Carolina.
We're talking about the SBA disaster loan.
That's
yes.
money for people in North Carolina.
And that's important. And people in North Carolina need that. This is nothing new. Congress comes together. They provide money, millions of dollars, for disaster relief.
But they already gave you millions of dollars. But then you can decide, the White House can decide, you know, let's just go, as Kamala announced herself, let's send $175 million to Lebanon. If the president, vice president could do that, why the hell can they not do, say, no. Let's send them $25 million, but let's say it $150 million to the people of North Carolina. Americans first? Does that ring a bell with you? Oh, we're not done with this interview, are we, Peter Ducey?
We're asking them to do the job that they have been doing for some time.
From a letter that President Biden
sent to
Johnson,
some time.
McConnell, Schumer, and Jeffries. The president's letter is not misinformation. Would you agree?
No, the way you're asking me the question is misinformation. There's money that we are allocating to the impacted areas, and there's money there to help people who truly need it. There are survivors who need the funding,
And it's there. You can't call a question that you don't like misinformation.
I said that. I actually said we have the money available to help survivors of Hurricane Helene and also Hurricane Milton. Now there's going to be a shortfall. Right? Because we don't know how bad Milton is going to be. And so we're going to need additional funding.
That's exactly what I just asked about. And you said it was misinformation.
Yes. What you're asking me is why Congress needs to come back and do their job. That's what you're asking me. Congress needs to come back and do their job and provide extra assistance, extra funding to disaster relief fund. That's what Congress needs to do, and we're going to continue to urge that. You may not want that. But that's okay. That's what this president wants, and that's what the vice president wants. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Goodbye. I'm gone. I'm done with you. If she bothered to hear what she's saying, we have the money. We don't need the money. Oh, but there's going to be a shortfall. So we need Congress to come in and give us more money. You contradicted yourself right there in a matter of seconds. Mayorkas 3+ months ago said, we got plenty of money in FEMA to see America through disasters the rest of the year. And then 3 weeks ago, he says, we don't have enough money to get through the hurricane season, which goes into November. If you wouldn't continue sending money to foreign countries and maybe to foreign enemies, then you'd have it for Americans. If you wouldn't continue to spend money on illegals to come into this country and be resettled, and I'm talking about illegals, not legal migrants, you would have the money. But now you want more. I want more. I want more. I want more because I need more money for this. And if you gave them, off the top of my head, if you gave them $1 billion, they'd take $100 million of the billion and spend it on the American and say, look what we're doing. Where's the rest of the billion? Oh, that's going to go to help illegals in foreign countries. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy putting his spin on it.
Well, Vice President Harris and some members of the media are complaining that people are asking hard questions about the Biden-Harris recovery to Hurricane Helene. They say it's a new conspiracy theory. I'll concede that we need some new conspiracy theories, but it's because all the old ones turned out to be true.
All those old other conspiracy theories, they weren't a conspiracy theory. They were fact, and we knew it, and you guys knew it, but you didn't do anything about it, and now, as he said, well, maybe we do need some new conspiracy theories because what might have been called that in the past, well, now, maybe not so much a theory. Back to the issue that's facing Florida at this moment and those along the Gulf Coast side and maybe deep inland. Keep in mind, Florida's the widest spot is, what, maybe 200 miles? If Milton comes ashore sometime tomorrow, maybe late tomorrow night or overnight Wednesday night, as a Cat 3, that's not to diminish what it really is, because it ramped up to 5, then fell back to 4, and if it comes ashore as a 3, it's just below stage 4 based on the models we're seeing now. And the models right now look like Tampa is going to be the right in its sights. That doesn't count all the outreaching winds. It will still be 60 to 80 miles an hour. It does not account for storm surge up and down that entire coastline all the way from northern Florida down to maybe almost the tip of Florida, maybe not quite that far. And that's assuming that it will race across the land and get into the Atlantic and be gone. But as it gets back over the Atlantic, it might refire again. It may stall out. It may go out and turn back into the nation again. You need to keep all these people in your prayers and the first responders and those who are out there trying to help put things back together. And then we're going to join the Kamala Harris 60 Minutes interview and rip it apart for you. Coming up, lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on. There's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. One of the greatest pleasures in life is giving. Giving something special to someone just because. Vincent's Jewelers can help you, and you should know that Vincent's has helped raise almost $2 million for local charities. Vincent's Jewelers, St. Louis's premier, full-service, locally owned jewelry store. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day for new items. vincentsjewelers.com, my only jeweler, vincentsjewelers.com. I want you to know that Meguiar Moving and Storage is silver certified, which means Meguiar has a quality reputation helping older adults move local or long distance. And something else to know, Josh McGuire, president of McGuire Moving and Storage, is the only certified moving consultant in Missouri. I'll tell you, once you met Josh, you're going to know your move will be easy. And I fully endorse McGuire Moving and Storage. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Part of my plan, you mentioned groceries. Part of my plan is what we must do to bring down the price of groceries.
Harris says she'll press Congress to pass a federal ban on price gouging for food and groceries, but details are yet to be defined.
You want to expand the child tax credit?
Yes, I do.
You want to give tax breaks to first-time homebuyers?
Yes.
And people starting small businesses?
Correct.
But it is estimated by the Nonpartisan Committee for Responsible Federal Budget that your economic plan would add $3 trillion to the federal deficit over the next decade. How are you going to pay for that?
How are you going to pay for that? That question is at the heart of everything Kamala Harris says she will do. If she understood what she's going to do, if she even understands what she's going to do. Now, that's a clip from the 60 Minutes interview over last weekend. As I mentioned earlier, today on The View, she was asked, what would you do different from Biden? And she said, there's not a thing that comes to mind. I thought you'd been running on the fact that I'm going to make things better. I'm going to make things better. I want to do this and do that and do that. She repeated that, saying that in that 60 Minutes interview last Sunday, but then just today, when she asked by the ladies of The View, what are you going to do different from Biden? Quote, there's not a thing that comes to mind. Oh, I think I just found the key word. Mind. Maybe that's the issue. But that should be considered Kamala shock, admitting there will not be any change. It'll be exactly the way it is. You want to go back to Obama days? You like your doctor, your health, you can keep. No, that didn't happen, did it? Well, she has been campaigning and saying, we're going to take the economy and we're going to make it better. We're going to make it better. Well, I thought Joe Biden was doing just perfect. And here you're saying there's not a thing that comes to mind to make things better. But then that pesky little question, how are you going to pay for it? Let's go back to the CBS 60 Minutes interview.
How are you going to pay for that?
Okay, so the other economists that have reviewed my plan versus my opponent and determined that my economic plan would strengthen America's economy, his would weaken it. But my plan, Bill, if you don't mind, my plan is about saying that when you invest in small businesses, you invest in the middle class, and you strengthen America's economy. Small businesses are part of the backbone of America's economy.
But pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
It's like a dog at your ankles. You just can't shake the dog. How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? You have to kick the dog in the teeth, and it's still going to come back. How are you going to pay for it? Let's give her another try.
Pardon me, Madam Vice President. The question was, how are you going to pay for it?
Well, one of the things is I'm going to make sure that the richest among us who can afford it pay their fair share in taxes.
Oh.
It is not right that teachers and nurses and firefighters are paying a higher tax rate than billionaires and the biggest corporations.
But
I plan on making that fair.
But we're dealing with the real world here.
But the real world includes...
How are you going to get this through Congress?
You know, when you talk quietly with a lot of folks in Congress, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because their constituents know exactly what I'm talking about. Their constituents are those firefighters and teachers and nurses. Their constituents are middle-class, hardworking folks.
And Congress has shown no inclination to move in your direction.
I disagree with you. There are plenty of leaders in Congress who understand and know that the Trump tax cuts blew up our federal deficit. Mm-mm. None of us, and certainly I cannot afford to be myopic in terms of how I think about strengthening America's economy. Let me tell you something. I am a devout public servant. You know that. I am also a capitalist. And I know the limitations of government.
I know the limitations of government. I don't think you do. And in fact, where you think there's a limit, you're going to expand and shake it up. But again, did she answer the question how she's going to pay for it? No, she did not. She did not. Where's that coming from? Some good music on how she can't seem to get things going, huh? Is she going to, maybe she'll rock her way out of there, huh? She has no idea how she's going to pay for it because, well, first of all, she's not going to do anything different than Biden. At least that's what she told The View today. But then on the 60 Minutes interview, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do that. That would be everything different than Biden, but today, no. And then came another question. And again, I'm going to give credit to 60 Minutes. They did a pretty good job, and he was very respectful. Madam President, with all due respect, Madam Vice President, you did not answer the question. And she, of course, insisted, well, I did. You're not listening. And I got a lot of members in Congress that will go along. They all understand this. You know, and then she's talking about the tax cuts that Trump put in place that are coming to an end this next year that really helped America. Many of you as well. But here's the other issue. With their constant flip-flops on issues, critics have said, and CBS pointed it out to her in the interview, voters don't know you.
A quarter of registered voters still say they don't know you. They don't know what makes you tick. And why do you think that is? What's the disconnect?
It's an election, Bill. And I take it seriously that I have to earn everyone's vote. This is an election for president of the United States. No one should be able to take for granted that they can just declare themselves a candidate.
Well, you did.
And automatically receive support. You have to earn it.
You did. You did declare yourself as a candidate. Did she not say no one can declare themselves as a candidate? Just do that. She did. That's why Biden is no longer the top of the ticket. That is a coup. That is, quote, an insurrection without guns. But it's seen by the Democrat Party as the logical thing to do. Suggesting she was the elected Democrat nominee. She was not. She was not. It happened, and she's already told the story. Biden calls her on a Sunday when she's fixing meal for the grandkids, and they want another helping or something. And Biden calls, says, well, I'll let you know I'm going to step out, and so you know you can be the candidate for our party. Are you sure? She said. I'm sure she said, are you sure? And it's kind of, are you sure? I don't want you back up. I'm sure. That's how that happened. There was no meeting of politicians, even the Democrat Party. There had been meetings of that prior to that, but that was not the Democrat populace. It was the leadership. And yes, she did thereby declare that she is the candidate when she just said no one can do that. All right, let's go again back to the critics and her changing position all the time.
You were against fracking. Now you're for it. You supported looser immigration policies. Now you're tightening them up. You were for Medicare for all. Now you're not. So many that people don't truly know what you believe or what you stand for. And I know you've heard that.
In the last 4 years, I have been Vice President of the United States. And I have been traveling our country. And I have been listening to folks and seeking what is possible in terms of common ground. I believe in building consensus. We are a diverse people, geographically, regionally, in terms of where we are in our backgrounds. And what the American people do want is that we have leaders who can build consensus.
Let's go to grandma's house.
Where we can figure out compromise and understand it's not a bad thing as long as you don't compromise your values.
But what values do you have? What values do you have, woman? I'm not going down the road some of you might be thinking. I want to step aside from that. But what values do you have as even being a politician, even a Democrat politician, or even a progressive liberal? What really are your values? You have said clearly you are with your core values forever. I don't know what your core values are, but I fear them. Political pundits mocked her repeatedly because of that interview. One of them, remember she did talk about increased spending, will increase taxes for billionaires who can afford it? That little line kind of got slipped in there. I forgot to focus on that earlier. Billionaires who can afford it, we're going to raise their taxes. Well, hell yeah. If they can afford it, maybe they can't. Billy Binion, a reporter for Reason, which is a leading libertarian magazine, said her answer was economically illiterate. Another one called her the dumbest candidate ever. I'm looking at all these other comments. I could go down them over and over. But talking about being dumb, I have on my phone, somebody gave me, I can't show it to you here on the air, but it's right here on my phone. I might show it to you on the air. You keep watching. There's a picture frame of Obama thinking, I need a really dumb vice president. And then you see Biden. I need someone who can be a really dumb vice president. And then you see Harris. And she's saying, I need someone who can be a really dumb vice president. And there's Tim Walz, wide-eyed. Whoa! Is that fact or fiction? Is that another conspiracy theory that could come true? Coming up, how Harris wants to claim DeSantis is grandstanding in Florida and not really caring about the people. Are you kidding me, woman?
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Question, are you looking to unlock the full potential of artificial intelligence for your business? I want you to meet my friends at PRI Global, named by the St. Louis Business Journal as a leading IT consulting firm. 25 years helping local and worldwide companies. PRI Global has a free survey to determine where your company stands in your AI journey. You simply go to priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. And I also have a phone number, so get ready to copy that number. And I'll remind you that PRI Global has its own AI lab, creating, adapting, developing, pushing the boundaries for what AI can do for you. Here's the number, 636-689-0545, 636-689-0545, or visit priglobal.ai, priglobal.ai. The Cafe Napoli family is adding another great place for you to enjoy. Where? Well, first let me remind you, you have the original Cafe Napoli, downtown Clayton. Napoli 2, Town and Country. Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Plus, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. And opening soon, Napoli Kirkwood, right downtown Kirkwood Road. Napoli Kirkwood. Renewal by Anderson sponsoring this hour of Larry Connors USA. And let's be honest, most window companies are pushing cheap vinyl windows, adding bells and whistles to make them sound great, but Renewal windows are twice as strong. You do not want to go cheap when you can go with quality and get the nation's best warranty. Check the website, rbastl.com, or dial #250, #250, and say, Windows.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I think she should look in the mirror. We've been on an emergency footing for 2 weeks straight, round the clock, 24/7. We've been working, my office, our Division of Emergency Management, helping people prepare for Hurricane Helene. helping effectuate rescues of people after Hurricane Helene, helping people pick up the pieces of their lives after Helene, and then have to also turn around and prepare for major impacts and maybe even more impacts from Hurricane Milton, be able to have rescue personnel ready to help people, and then, of course, help with the power restoration, all these things to do. So that's been my sole focus. My focus has not been on dealing with Kamala Harris. I saw the news report. I didn't know she tried to contact me. But I'd also say it's not about you, Kamala. Right. It's about the people of Florida. My focus is exactly where it should be. And I can tell you this. I've worked on these hurricanes under both President Trump and President Biden. Neither of them ever tried to politicize it. She has never called on any of the storms we've had since she's been vice president until apparently now. Why all of a sudden is she trying to parachute in and inject herself when she's never shown any interest in the past? We know it's because of politics. We know it's because of her campaign. I have zero time to entertain these political games.
Good for him. Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, responding to complaints from Harris, saying, I tried to call the governor, but he won't take my call because I'm a Democrat. Must be why he won't take my call. He said, I didn't, first of all, know she even tried to call. So I don't know. You can decide. Is she telling the truth? Is he telling the truth? But what he is pointing out, she has never tried to call on anything else before. And now suddenly she wants to parachute into this because it's a political campaign, and they think, oh, maybe we got voters still down there that we need. DeSantis called her out and should. Riddle me this. Can you be this fair? Let's say the situation were flipped and that Trump is in office, and you've got a southern state or any state that's been hit by a disaster, and he calls and he says, oh, they didn't call. I tried to help them. They won't call me back. And then he goes out and tells the media, they won't call me back. They won't answer my call. And then the Republican governor or whatever it is says exactly what DeSantis said. You've never been here in the past. You haven't done it. Now you want to parachute in because of the election season. I would call Trump out for being wrong in his approach and everything else. Would you? Well, then you should do it with Harris. I'd mentioned earlier that I have here on my phone, and those of you watching, can they kind of see that a little bit? Do I need to move it up a little bit closer? There's that picture I was telling you earlier about, you got Obama asking, I need someone dumb for a vice president. Oh, there's Biden. And Biden said, I need a dumb vice president. Whoops, there's Harris. Harris saying, I need to find someone dumb to serve as vice president. Oh, whoop. There he is, right at the bottom. Let me move my finger so you can see it. Tim Walz. Tim Walz. Big wide-eyed. Oh, my God. You're the latest. And let me share this with you. The porn industry is now entering the 2024 presidential campaign. A 100,000 ad campaign. Larry, you're making this up. No, I'm not. I'm quoting the New York Times, actually. The New York Times reported the porn industry is pushing the presidential race with a $100,000 ad campaign. 17 pornographic film actors announcing along with their PAC that's putting this money together. Running on porn sites in 7 crucial swing states. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada. Specifically claiming that conservatives want a ban on pornography and potential imprisonment of those involved in producing adult content. So they're spending this $100,000 with the title, Hands Off My Porn, in 7 swing states with the hope of convincing young men to vote for Kamala. If they're watching a porn video, they're going to see that ad campaign. Do you realize they might try to take your porn away? Hands off my porn. Vote for Kamala. Does that not give you an idea where they want to take this country? Really? I'm not even discussing the issues of porn value or immorality, anything. I'm guilty of it. I'm going to admit I'm guilty as a younger person considerably. But bottom line is, this is what they think will sell and buy votes. In the meantime, in addition to Hurricane Milton bearing down on Florida, we have, of course, what's happening in the Middle East. We got to keep an eye on that because it could spark major escalation any moment. The ground invasion Israel is carrying out in Lebanon, going after Hezbollah, retired General Jack King.
It's the ground invasion in the southern Lebanon. The force, the Hezbollah forces back across the Litani River, which is about 18 to 20 miles from the Israeli-Lebanon border. Until they're able to do that, Hezbollah would still be able to fire rockets and missiles and mortars and artillery into northern Israel, and the people would not be able to move back. They've committed now a fourth division. They've got up to five divisions that they are wanting to commit to this area. It's rugged terrain. The going is going to be tough to do this. This is infantry-type fighting that's taking place here.
That is ground war, grunt war, as we say in the Marines. And these guys, casualty numbers, I haven't seen an update on the IDF. We know in just the beginning of it, they lost 10 to 12 quickly. That's going to continue. So the idea is to establish a border buffer zone between Lebanon Hezbollah guerrillas who are firing upon Israeli settlements, forcing thousands from their homes in northern Israel. And as the Israeli forces have gone in, they've tried to send advance wording to Lebanese, move north because we're coming into the south. They're warning people, move out of the way if you can. But Hezbollah won't let some of them go because, again, they want human body shields so they can claim mass casualties of civilians. General Jack King says, then once they get it, they're going to have to decide how do we hold it and for how long, because we're going to have sniping. And then he points out, you've got Israel dealing with Iran, you've got the Hezbollah in north in Lebanon, you got Hamas still in Gaza, you got the Houthis. You definitely have a three-front war minimum for Israel.
They are about winning this war. They have effectively destroyed much of Hamas. There's still some thousands of fighters not being able to organize into military organizations, and that's why you saw a campaign in Gaza just a few days ago, the remnants of Hamas. They want to dismantle Hezbollah. This is the most powerful proxy group that Iran has. They want to take their capability away from them, their rockets and missiles, and they're not going to try to destroy or kill every Hezbollah fighter. There's tens of thousands of them. But they want to take away their major weapon that they have is long-range missiles that can reach any city and any town. So they're doing that. And then the second part of that is restore their borders, as you mentioned. I believe Iran is on its heels, Stuart, because they're losing their two major proxy groups, Hamas and Hezbollah. They did not think that was going to happen. And the two attacks that they've made against Israel have been inconsequential, as we've all seen. That is humiliating for them.
It is humiliating. They'll never admit it. Ayatollah is in hiding right now because they've seen how quickly Mossad can take out leaders of Hezbollah and Hamas. Now, Fred Flights, our Iranian expert the other day, said, I do not think it'd be a good idea to take out the head of state, the Ayatollah. I will say a Jewish news syndicate is stating that the majority of Israelis believe it was right to keep the news from the Biden-Harris administration that Israel is getting ready to move into Lebanon. JNS asks, according to reports, Israel did not coordinate with the U.S. in advance of carrying out the operation to assassinate Nasrallah. You think that was the right decision or wrong decision? And the majority said, 83% said it was a right decision. Do not tell the U.S. what you're going to do. Not this administration. And this Jewish News Syndicate survey also found that majority of the public in Israel believes now is the time to attack Israel's nuclear system. Bunker buster bombs or more, possibly. I've got a story here in front of me about a possible, what some are saying, maybe this is going to be the October surprise that can shake up the campaign. Now, you know, I've told you about an October surprise I think is coming. I'll rehash that with you and give you this latest October surprise prediction. This one coming from The Hill, a leftist, basically, publication. But I'll tell you this again. In dealing with what we've got in front of us right now, if you were listening earlier when we were playing parts of that 60 Minutes interview with Harris, she had no clue of that one question, how are you going to pay for it? Donald Trump has a very clear plan on one thing that can restart our economy. His story as we continue.
So the centerpiece of my plan for a manufacturing renaissance will be a 15% made in America corporate tax rate. In other words, if you make your product in the United States, you get a rate. So I cut it from 39% to 21%. Everyone said that was impossible. I got it done. And we had the best boom we've ever had. We did more revenue when we had it at 21 than when it was at 39. Think of it, much more. The following year, we did much more. And then I'm going to take it from 21 to 15, which will make us the most competitive country in the world.
It would. And again, when Trump came in, the corporate tax rate was 39%. If you were a corporate leader or a boss, absolutely understand why you were moving your goods and your production out of the country and saving money. But then Trump came in and said, I'll start putting a high tariff on those coming back. Same as he told John Deere the other day, if you move any of your production to Mexico and I become president, you'll be hit with a 200% tariff on everything you try to bring back. But he didn't just threaten them with the whip. He gave them a big carrot going from 39% to 21% on corporate rate. And now he's proposing dropping it down to 15%. That would give them more incentive to stay here and create more jobs. Biden and Harris have no concept of what needs to be done to help Americans at this point, other than talk and talk and talk. Blow and bluster like a hurricane. Ah, Larry, you're so good at segues. Leading into Hurricane Milton approaching Florida. I don't want to distract from the death and destruction that could come, even with advance warning. But I've told you I would expect an October surprise could be that Biden decides to pardon Hunter as president, then step out and say, I'm going to let Kamala, you're going to run as president the rest of the term up to the election. Let her run as the incumbent. Larry, we might be getting a little late for that October surprise. Well, maybe so. Maybe it won't happen. Didn't again. I wouldn't rule it out still. But The Hill, which is a leftist-leaning publication, says, here's your October surprise. They're talking about Biden and Harris, who have already visited parts of the country hit by Helene, and worked hard to stay on top of the federal recovery effort, but their leadership skills will be tested in new ways when Milton slams into Florida. And they said, bracing for the huge storm, Biden Monday night signed an emergency declaration for Florida, citing more than three dozen counties that could be impacted by the storm. That's routine for the president to do that, but that's fine to cite him and give him credit for it. That's what he should do. And then they add, the stakes are high for Harris, who has a higher favorability rating than former Trump, which I don't buy, but trails a Republican on the trait of leadership in some battleground states. One Republican strategist said, Hurricane Milton's about to affect Florida, and again, what we've already seen happen to Florida and North Carolina, this could be something that would be a plus for Trump, a minus for the Biden-Harris, or now just Harris-Walls campaign, I should say. One strategist said Trump could absolutely take advantage of that if they haven't planned it all the way through. It's going to be a test of their leadership, especially for independent voters. Of course, that is folks that have lost everything if they're still going to vote. I know that's asking a lot of those folks in that area when they're barely able to get water and food. And you want to make sure that a lot of votes aren't doctored
and brought in as if they've just been delivered from a water-soaked area. And it's hard to verify them. But yeah, this hurricane and the way this administration and even Harris herself had responded, her only response was to call DeSantis and say, "You're grandstanding down there. You're not doing what you should be doing." As he said, parachuting in because it's an election year. As always, I thank you for listening. Share with others, will you? Let them know. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.